This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. Today I'm joined in the studio by
Christine Wong.
I'm Vinny Viraj.
And we've just had a new late arrival. His name is...
Hello, Jeff Lando here.
What are you doing here?
Yeah, well, crypto talks.
Crypto talks. Oh, we'll get to... Yeah, fun. We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. Of course, our topic of the day is all about how managers spend anywhere from between 35 to 50% of their time in meetings, and yet executives consider half of these meetings failures. Why? What would make meetings more productive? We've given you some suggestions. We've asked you to give us some suggestions. What do we have, Chris?
From Nurhisham Ahmad, they say first cap meeting time up to 1 hour only, which is something that was specifically actually not mentioned in the thing. On a similar kind of note, Irene says, time, everyone. You have 3 to 5 minutes to present and each comment can only be 1 minute long.
Ooh.
Interesting. And Lian Jim says, maybe there's a need for a moderator. A lot of people talk just for the sake of talking without actually contributing, and the meeting will be productive if there's someone who can actually make some calls.
Ooh,
oh, good
idea.
Yeah. What have you got?
We have one from Hafiz who says that a small meeting to discuss what to discuss in the big meeting.
Okay.
That's familiar.
Meetingception.
Sounds like a nightmare. And then he says, want to keep the meeting short, make it a stand-up meeting. But I know a lot of people who can stand for a long time.
No.
I do too.
Yeah. I would fall over in 5 minutes.
Maylin Liu has said, when there is a clear understanding of what the meeting is trying to achieve and not just for fun. Yeah, exactly. Set an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
That's echoed by Baba Yananda, who says, agenda ready and an effective chairperson to conduct the meeting. This chairperson is something that keeps cropping up, too, so far. And then we've got one here, keep it to the power of one, i.e. one a month and only 1 hour long. Kind of like that.
Mm.
Right, Jeff.
I'm not trying to blow my own horn here, but whenever I do meetings, it's generally very short. It's, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Come on then, you're here to discuss with us all about the crypto police.
Yes. So the Malaysian government is regulating ICO, initial coin offerings, and the cryptocurrency trading. This, I think most of y'all would have known this by now because a statement was issued by Lim Guan Eng, the country minister of finance, launching unauthorized ICOs or participating in exchanges of digital goods could result in a 10-year jail term or a 10 million ringgit fine. This order, which will acknowledge the digital currencies and tokens as securities, was then enforced on January the 15th by the Securities Commission in Malaysia. In his statement, the finance minister said that the Ministry of Finance views digital assets as well as its underlying blockchain technology as having the potential to bring about innovation in both old and new industries. In particular, we believe digital assets have a role to play as an alternative fundraising avenue for entrepreneurs and new businesses and also an alternate asset class for investors. Now, this commission is due to launch a framework by the end of the first quarter this year, establishing the relevant regulatory requirements for the issuance of ICOs and the trading of digital assets at the digital assets exchanges here in Malaysia. So I have on the phone with me Marcus Von Engel. He's the financial services consultant lead at PwC Malaysia, together with Henry Arslanian. He's the PwC fintech and crypto leader in Asia. He's also the chairman of the Fintech Association of Hong Kong. Marcus, what is this new digital law that's affecting ICOs at the moment?
Yeah, so in Malaysia, in fact, Malaysia was one of the advanced areas in terms of registering cryptocurrency exchanges, and now this new law is moving in the direction of regulating the crypto. So we're moving from registration to regulation. The impact is still unknown, but this is certainly putting Malaysia on the map. And there's a lot of attention on this in the global news and those people who track this in terms of what Malaysia wanted to do with it. And I mean, from one point, it's exciting, but I think we also find this is one of the areas where Malaysia is being the first to put ICOs as a digital asset, and that's interesting, right? Mm. This is the first in the world where they've done this. Mm.
And how will this change the industry itself? Like, how can businesses make sense of this?
Sure. So, I mean, one of the things that we're seeing is you're starting to see all these move into the mainstream. And so if you think of traditional assets, stocks, bonds, certificates, and now you're going to see the same things such as custodial services that you see for normal assets now being available to ICOs and crypto assets.
And so what's the outlook of the local crypto industry with this new regulatory push?
That's the one that we have yet to see. I think by Malaysia being one of the first to regulate in this area, it certainly gives Malaysia the opportunity to be ahead of the world in this. But in terms of the impact, I mean, there's two sides to the story. One side says this is maybe a negative impact, that you saw some of the crypto exchanges that have registered, they may be a little bit more uncomfortable to get into the regulations phase. The other side of the story, this may advance the industry. It sees where those crypto exchanges that have registered now get to be seen as more legitimate. It also gives more comfort for Malaysians to invest in this area.
And Henry, on your end, what's happening around other markets like in Hong Kong and the U.S.?
Absolutely. You know, the one thing that the crypto ecosystem globally has been asking for is regulatory clarity. So any type of regulatory clarity is actually quite welcome. You know, it's been very interesting. Other different countries have taken different positions. China, for example, has banned it outright. Other countries have taken a more neutral stance, like Hong Kong and Switzerland. And others have taken a very positive stance and really try to welcome crypto companies. Malta, Gibraltar, Liechtenstein, and Bermuda are examples of those. What's really interesting with the Malaysian rules is that actually they qualify a lot of cryptocurrencies as securities, which tends to be a bit different from what we've seen in other jurisdictions. So it's still a bit early to say. We have to look how these regulations unfold, but at least at a more basic level, at least now we have more clarity, which is always welcome from the crypto ecosystem.
Am I right in saying that you're in support of this?
Oh, absolutely. I think anybody in the crypto ecosystem would say that the last thing the crypto ecosystem wants is regulatory vagueness or a vacuum. And here at least we have some regulatory clarity around. To be honest, the detail is going to be in the details. And really, I think what kind of regulations now and more clarifications come out over the coming months will be very essential, because there's actually quite a lot of competitive landscape right now between jurisdictions. And many jurisdictions are trying to compete to attract the top-tier quality crypto companies in their jurisdiction. And it's going to be important to see how Malaysia positions itself for this situation that's going to unfold.
And you keep saying it needs some sort of regulation. So what are the kind of pain points that the crypto industry is facing at the moment?
Absolutely. In addition to regulatory uncertainty, which hopefully could be resolved, there's a number of very practical business difficulties. One of them, for example, is opening a bank account. You know, if we ask across our client base globally, one of the biggest challenges they have is to have a typical bank account to be able to use on a day-to-day basis. So even though we have the best regulations, if the banks are not willing to open accounts for crypto companies, it may not be a big impact in practice. And there's many others. Another one, for example, is insurance. Again, getting insurance for any type of crypto company is still very challenging. And this is why we need the whole entire financial ecosystem, led by the regulators, but the entire ecosystem from service providers, law firms, banks, and others, to also take a look at the crypto ecosystem. Then that's how Malaysia will be able to have a competitive edge, not only regionally, but also globally.
But so I guess we're in a good spot here because we can learn from these other markets that you mentioned, US and Hong Kong and so forth.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, the crypto ecosystem moves very quickly. And the good news is actually this is a new industry in a way that is up for grabs. And while there's certain jurisdictions in the Caribbean, in the Europe, in Asia, really, there's still the ball is up for grabs, if you want. For example, Hong Kong came up with new regulations in November 1st, and I think we expect many other jurisdictions in the region to come up with regulations as well. And I think this is a good opportunity to Malaysia to truly try to position itself if it wants to attract some of the top-tier companies in the crypto space here in the country.
Yeah, and just one other thing to add, still a bit of challenges around technology. We look at performances and, of course, cybersecurity, and this now gives us an opportunity to address those. And I think it'll make significant opportunities for Malaysia fintech companies to also participate in this area. And so we're excited to see that as a result of this new regulatory framework.
All right. That was thanks, Marcus von Engel. He's the financial services consulting lead at PwC Malaysia, together with Henry Arslanian, the PwC fintech and crypto leader in Asia. He's also the chairman of the Fintech Association of Hong Kong. So it's early days. The saying is the proof is in the pudding. So once the detail comes out in the first quarter of 2019, I guess we will kind of know more further. Also, yesterday, late evening, the Securities Commission has ordered all ongoing ICOs to halt halt their activities and return all monies or digital assets collected from investors. The regulator issued the warning to the ISOs on late last night after the rules on cryptocurrencies and digital tokens came into effect on Monday. So, yeah, interesting times. We're moving into some sort of a direction of, you know, regulating this space that has always been, you know, kind of like the Wild West.
A bit of a Wild West, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now we're kind of seeing, and it's interesting that Malaysia is actually taking a lead, you know, like Henry was saying that, you know, Malaysia, and Henry and Marcus both were saying that, you know, Malaysia is one of the first to actually recognize this as a security token, which is, you know, which is a big deal. Which, yeah. Yeah, they're two sides of the camps, right? One is saying, like, this is not good. One is saying, this is good. Time will tell, I guess. Yeah,
I have to admit, I'm surprised. But I'm also, you know, very excited about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Ladies and gents, we have to take a short break in a couple of minutes. But first, we have an update on our Enterprise Rocks Roadshow event happening on the 23rd of Jan. You may remember yesterday we were telling you all about it. Well, all seats have been taken up. And for those of you that received the confirmation email, we will see you on Wednesday. For those of you who missed out, don't worry, though, because we'll be doing another roadshow happening in February as a build-up to our main retail conference happening in March. So stay tuned on all of our social media channels for more info in the near future. Music coming up from Brian Ferry with Let's Stick Together. Don't go anywhere when we come back. Why it's important to know you might be wrong. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jeff, for joining us in the studio.
Thank you.
All right, so this is Enterprise Biz Bytes. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.